What's up, kiddos? It's Clinton Yates here, and I'm back with another gem from earlier this year. You ever been to a pub and seen a dartboard? Some folks may casually play while knocking back a couple of beers, but for others, it's a serious sport. Earlier this year, people around the world got a taste of the World Darts Championship when commentator Wayne Martel went viral covering a genuinely historic duel between Michael van Gerwen of the Netherlands and Michael Smith of England. So today, we revisit Pablo Torre's conversation with Wayne Martel himself as they walk us through a championship that left onlookers speechless. It's Thursday, December 28th, and this is ESPN Daily.
So, the legendary Wayne Martel, I have one question for you here at the very top. How's your voice doing?
It's all right. It's okay. It was a bit croaky after the leg, should we call it.
The combination finishing in this game is going to be key. You can tell by the way they're scoring. They may both be on nines.
If you live in the United Kingdom, you probably know the voice of Wayne Martel. But after last week, after millions of people suddenly got a taste of him, I figured it was long past time for us to get to know him here.
One man misses, does the other man get? I've never seen the like. Come on, Spolly boy!
Because this is Wayne calling the World Darts Championship Final. A genuinely historic duel, it would turn out, between Michael van Gerwen of the Netherlands and Michael Smith of England. And Wayne's commentary helped make it the most globally viral thing that has pretty much ever happened to this admittedly strange game.
Yes! Double 12! That is the most amazing leg of you will ever see in your life! I can't speak!
I've lived darts, I've spoken about darts for literally 40 years of my 49 years. I've never, ever seen anything like it. It's so rare. This is the final of the World Championship. If it was another game, it would still be amazing. But it's the final of the biggest game in any year. Darts is very in the moment. If you're throwing a dart, it's either in or it isn't. And the difference between it being in and not, it may only be the width of a wire. It may only be that. But if it's the wrong side of the wire, you go from champ to chump in a matter of seconds. You go from like loser to legend in a matter of seconds.
So today, Wayne Martel tells the glorious story of the game that was heard around the world for everyone who had little to no idea what was happening when they saw it, myself included. I'm Pablo Torre, and this is ESPN Daily.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, I gotta confess something to you, Wayne. I have asked you here because I don't know if I've fallen in love with anything as quickly as I have fallen in love with professional darts.
I love this.
Well, you're an enormous reason why.
Oh.
But I also very genuinely need you to explain something that I don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
And you'll please forgive me here. What is professional darts?
Right. I love that. Right. Let's start from when professional darts started. Right. Darts has always been, nine ball pool in America.
Yeah. Pool, billiards.
It's a bar game, right? It's a bar game.
Yes. You play with a beer probably in your hand.
Yes, exactly. You play with your buddies. You have a beer.
Yes.
Darts started in a similar way back in the 50s and 60s. And people started to play. And it became popular. Now, what would happen is that a pub would then get 20, 30 players in it. And what they would do then, everyone would put in American terms, a couple of dollars, and they would play for the money. That's what would happen. Just like it happens in balls up and down America. Like you're hustling. You're kind of hustling, especially the good ones. I've done it once or twice.
Wayne is smiling with the Cheshire grin of a man who may have won a couple pounds, as you call it.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, a couple of pounds sterling. Yes, yeah. Now, with that, you then go to pubs and clubs that are now playing more darts and more darts, where there's more people. And now you're playing for bigger pots. Then people start to take the game a bit more seriously when they realize they can earn a wage, a yearly wage, for playing darts, right?
So what you're saying is that this started as an off-the-books enterprise that mushroomed because of the interest and because of the stakes that kept on growing.
Yes.
And then people realized, wait a minute, this could be a job, actually.
100%. This is what happened. So there was one guy in particular that saw the growth of darts. His name was Oliver Croft, well known within the darting world, actually known as Ollie Croft.
At 9 o'clock, everyone in the pub stopped talking. They all come round the dartboard and watch. I thought, well, all of a sudden, I thought, well, there's something in this. Everyone in the pub come round and watch a dart match.
From that moment on, Ollie and his wife Lorna dedicated their lives to turning a pub game into a major amateur sport.
And what years are we talking about now at this point in the timeline?
Now this is about 1974-75. He created what was the British Darts Organization. He got all these people together and said, right, if you pay £5, I will get 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people playing for a big sum of money. Then during the early 80s, darts went boom. It went worldwide. Americans, Chinese, Japanese, the Dutch, the Germans, the Finnish, they were all playing in what was then the World Darts Championship. And then, of course, you get sponsors come in. They want to push their brands, whatever brands they are. The world of darts has grown so big, so quickly that some of the guys are now multimillionaires. A lot of us are. And this is darts.
I love that you still can't quite believe you have lived.
I can't. As a 16-year-old, I realized that I had a talent to play the game. Picture the scene. I'm 16 years of age. I'm working as a trainee accountant in the City of London. This would have been 1989. I take a Friday off of work and the guys ask where I'm going. I said, I'm going to a darts tournament with my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife. And I win it. And I win £1,000 sterling. It took me 5 weeks from Monday to Friday to earn that money. As in traveling there and back, an hour and a half commuting there and back, working. And I earned that in 3 days, playing darts. I was bowled over. I'd won at life. I'd won at life as a 16-year-old. I didn't know there was bigger things on the horizon, but this is where professional sport grabs you. I didn't take up darts to be a professional. I took up darts because my dad used to play. I took up darts because I watched my dad beat his mates in the pub, and I used to sit there just having a bit of fun. And now I'm talking to you guys about professional darts. What, full circle, what's happened here?
Well, what seems to happen, Wayne, correct me if I'm wrong here, is that in England, like, audiences show up. And I will say, when I watch the World Championships, as you called them, and I see what it looks like,
yeah,
to be performing in front of this crowd, like, how do you describe the energy for someone who has only seen it through a screen?
The energy is, it's relentless. It's absolutely relentless.
Pure drama, pure theatre, pure darts, pure darts!
He's going like an intercontinental ballistic tungsten missile!
Not at any point do the audience switch off. Even if they go quiet for a second, you're waiting for it to erupt.
It's like Helen Sharpshooter. What a start! Back to back 180s. He's on a possible 10 darter.
Having played on that exact same stage, I can tell you that as a player, there's always something happening, whether it be your opponent does something mind-boggling, or you do something mind-boggling, or the audience start to support you. They're cheering your name. They're like 5,000 people cheering your name.
Yes! Marlowe wins!
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant comeback from Hawaii 501. He's almost in tears with joy.
Forget almost, he is.
What have I done to deserve this? Why? What? Why me? Why me?
Screaming to high heaven, the gods of gods! I did it! I did it! He trembles with emotion.
But look, I can honestly say this. There's times I've come off that stage and I feel like an absolute giant. And there's other times when you've lost and it's horrendous. It's horrible. Professional sport will do that to anyone. It will do that to anyone. But the atmosphere, whilst you feel like your life has imploded because you've lost, the audience, the fans, they are the absolute crux of this. Every now and again, it gets a little raucous. It gets a little harsh on some of the players that are not the crowd's favourite.
Mm.
It's not always pleasant, but look, it happens, unfortunately. But they, the crowd are, they're an integral part of the sport, massive part of the sport.
Well, I mean, let's be visually accurate too about what these fans look and sound like, Wayne. Because I'm seeing, I didn't realize that you guys were doing it like this, but I saw some Power Rangers, I saw some Minions, I think you call them Father Christmas, I saw a bunch of Father Christmases.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's a sight to behold. The funniest costume I've ever seen in my life. I saw this happen before my very eyes. There was a guy sitting in the bleachers, and before my very eyes was an inflatable T-Rex growing.
Inflating.
It was inflating. It was literally growing like a foot every kind of 3 or 4 seconds, and it went from just man size to, I would say, 30 feet and about 7 feet wide, right over the presenter's shoulder. As I'm trying to be serious now, was this T-Rex's head? It's the most peculiar thing I've ever seen.
after the break. The greatest game of darts that anyone had ever seen.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Wayne, I now have a way better understanding of what your sport actually is, how it actually works. But this whole time, we have really just been building back towards the thing that happened just last week, the historic event we started the show with. So take us there, if you could now.
Ryan, the tournament was the World Darts Championship. In London, it's held over late December, early January, every single year. The venue is called the Alexandra Palace. That's absolutely world famous.
Yeah, Ali Pally, as you guys call it.
Yeah, as we call it, yeah. Because we can't be bothered to say Alexandra Palace. We are so lazy, honestly. If we can shorten anything, we will. Anyway, so the stage is now set for the World Championships. We all come together after a year of qualifying for this one event. Now, everyone gets a walk-on music.
I love this part.
So that the audience can get involved. It adds to the ambiance. It adds to the gravitas.
It's the best. No, it's the best. And you're a practitioner.
I actually hold a title, right? This is official. I am the walk-on world champion.
You know what? Not only do I believe that, at this point in our conversation, I'm not surprised.
Honestly, I used to entertain my darts, the way I used to play. I used to wear an Hawaiian shirt.
Firstly, would you please welcome from Essex, it's Hawaii 501, Wayne Mono!
I used to come on high-fiving everyone in like a real manic way because, you know, that performance anxiety that I mentioned previously, that used to come out sometimes. So I was everywhere. I was absolutely everywhere. The World Walk-On Championship took place last March during the initial lockdown for COVID. And I beat Raymond van Barneveld, a 5-time world champion, in the final.
I love that this exists.
So I am officially the walk-on world champion. But look, that's just a small part of darts. But now, an integral part of darts. It's massive. It's, as entertainment goes, darts is knocking it out of the park.
So you've set the bar high, Wayne, for the scene that's about to unfold, in other words. The bar is high, and here at Ali Pally, coming in from the shadows, having survived the tournament's 96-man field, by the way, parading onto this trembling stage, are these two men. So how do you want to introduce our two championship finalists?
What? Yeah. Out of the show. These guys have played six or seven games to get there. They are now, they've now divided the audience. Even though we're in England, Michael Van Gerwen.
The three-time champion, Mighty Michael Van Gerwen.
Oh, Michael Van Gerwen. Then there's only one Michael Smith. There's only one. They're going at it. They're going at it. They want their man to win. They want their man to win. And they are playing off with endorsements and everything. They're playing for well over $1 million here. Well over $1 million. And the right. To be, this is what was different this year as well. The right to be called the world champion, and whoever won that game was the world number one.
Man.
There was a lot on this. There was a lot on it. So for a human being to hold it together, throwing a little 22 gram piece of tungsten with a point on the end into a board over 2 hours is just phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
And a key part of this phenomenon that all of this really rests on is this concept of being on nines, right? Like, this is a crucial thing for us to understand here. So please explain what being on nines is to me, like I'm five.
Right. A nine darter is the lowest number of darts you can take to finish a leg of 501.
And a leg, to be clear, is vocabulary translation.
It's one game of 501.
Right, 501, the magic number, as in your nickname. Hawaii 501, which stands for, yeah, the total of 501 points that you need to reach to win a game.
So the board is showing a 20 at the top.
Mm-hmm.
The tiniest bit, the smallest part, is a triple. That's 320s. So that one dart counts as 60.
Yeah, that's the hardest part of the dartboard to hit. Outside of the bullseye, that triple score part.
Absolutely.
And hitting that triple score zone is obviously better to hit than the single score or double score zones because you're trying to use every available scoring combination to total, yes, exactly 501 points to win using only nine darts.
There are professionals that have never hit a nine dart leg. Professionals. There's only been two handfuls here, 11 or 12 been here since the World Championships, the inception in 1976. There hasn't been a nine darts here in the World Championship final since 2012. So it's a long time. It's over a decade.
Well, you've been alluding to the ways in which amateurs and professionals are very different. And once the match gets started here in earnest, yeah, just seeing the rapid pace, the almost palpable confidence of these guys, like I obviously never seen either of them before in my entire life.
You were blown away with their talent, right?
Oh my God, the talent, the speed with yes. which they were just being perfect.
But they're also cheering the maximums. That's three in this match already.
Look, I've played the game to a similar level.
Yes, you were a world ranked, as high as what in the world?
Yeah, I got to number three or four for about 8 years. I was inside the top eight.
But who's counting? Just the top five greatest player in the world, sure.
I can play. Even now, I watch players and I can't believe what I used to do and what they're doing. It seems impossible to me that human beings can be so good at something.
And what these human beings are trying to do here in this leg, in this game that we have all been waiting for now, it all takes place in the second set, right? With Van Gerwen up first.
Michael Van Gerwen's kicked off with what was a maximum score.
Michael Van Gerwen, there's any mood to give him a sniff.
Then Michael Smith did the same, a maximum score.
The combination finishing in this game is going to be key. You can tell by the way they're scoring, there may be nothing in it.
So now Michael van Gerwen is on a 9 dart leg.
They may both be on nines. Michael may miss and Michael may hit.
The fact that Michael Smith may be on a 9 darter as well is just, that's not happened since 2013. Michael Smith then hits another 180, a maximum score. Now, both players are on a 9 dart leg. That's just improbable.
They're both on nines! They're both on a 9! This is insane! Come on now!
So now we have a possibility of someone actually hitting a 9 dart. Well, it gets better than that. Because Michael van Gerwen hits the 2 treble 20s, which are 120 scored, to leave the double 12.
Wow, the World Championship final. Michael van Gerwen is on a 9 darter in the World Final and just misses double 12. Over to you, Michael.
Michael van Gerwen misses the double 12 and Michael Smith steps up to the ball with a something in him that can hold himself together.
Over to you, Michael Smith.
One man misses, does the other man get? I've never seen the like.
So then he steps up, hits the 60. Now he has to go for the treble 19. Hits the treble 19.
Come on, Spotty boy! Yes, double 12!
And then he hit the double 12. The whole world erupted.
That is the most amazing leg of darts you will ever see in your life. I can't speak.
I erupted. My co-commentator, Stuart Pike, we didn't know what to do. It was one of those, what do you do? What do you say? What do you think? We'd never, ever, ever seen the light.
Absolutely unbelievable! The crowd are going berserk!
I still can't quite believe that it happened, let alone in a world final. This is a first. The first in darts that's been played since the 1890s. It's the first in darts that's been captured on TV. If this happened somewhere else and he's not captured, we call these people that saw it liars because it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. But do you know what? Now I've seen it, I believe it. If I hadn't have seen it, it would have gone down as a lie.
So your call, your honest, spontaneous reaction, your confession, your call to the heavens, I can't spake.
Yeah.
Which went viral immediately, which was hailed rightfully as one of the greatest calls of all time.
Yeah, I'm not taking credit for that, though. I'm just taking credit for spouting it because there's a guy in England that you won't know. You won't know of him. He's a commentator for a rugby league.
Right. No, Wayne, I absolutely did not know of him. You're correct. But I actually did a little bit of homework here in preparation for talking to you. And I learned that the commentator that you're now mentioning is this guy, Mick Morgan, who, as we say in America, is clearly a homer for Castleford, this rugby club. But in this, like, just truly iconic clip, which is from the 90s or something, right? You hear him calling the game. And after an opponent sucker punches a Castleford player, Mick Morgan just goes off.
Oh, what about that? Send him off! Send the dressing edge off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical! Get him off the field!
But the offender gets off with just a yellow card, which led to the phrase that you both have now officially made famous, I can't spake!
It's gonna be a yellow card! I can't spake! You bottleless get, Campbell! You dickhead! You bottleless get! I can't speak! I should be sent off!
I watched this a decade ago, and I was blown away with this guy, absolutely blown away. And to this day, my wife and I, when something takes our breath away and no words can describe what's happening, I often say, I can't speak. So when this leg of darts happened, first off, it was, I've never seen the like, which I hadn't.
I've never seen the like. Come on, Spotty boy.
They're both on nines. Michael Smith is on a nine. Michael Van Gerwen's on, they're both on nines.
They're both on nines. They're both on a nine. This is insane. Come on now.
I've literally never seen the like. Then once it happens, it's, I can't speak.
That is the most amazing leg of darts you will ever see in your life. I can't speak. I can't speak.
And what you guys don't know, I had the pleasure of phoning Mick Morgan, the original I can't speak commentator.
Oh, wow.
And saying to him, Mick, you may not know me. Yes, why not? I know you are. I watched the darts, was his response, which is great. And I just said, I want to thank you. I wasn't plagiarizing you. I was paying homage to you. You're my inspiration. I couldn't think of anything that would enhance the broadcast. So I said, I can't speak. And the fact that you say the word speak wrong is even funnier because I can't even say the word speak correctly.
I can't speak the word speak.
I can't even say the word speak correctly. And do you know what? It ended up fitting, but it's very fitting that all the plaudits should go to Mike Morgan. This one leg, it's changed my view on darts completely because I never ever thought we'd see it. Someone at their very best at that precise moment is doing their very best whilst someone else is doing their very best. That's just so rare.
No, it's a lunar eclipse, and then suddenly there's another moon that just shows up and is doing the same thing.
I wish I'd have said it that way. Yes, yes, it exactly that. And again, I'm speechless.
No, I know it literally left you speechless for a while when you were calling the game. Your voice actually kind of got ruined. You had to sit out a couple plays, as it were, but you went on to watch, yes, England's own Michael Smith hold on to win the championship.
He was born to be a world champion, and he has filled his darting destiny. Michael Smith is the champion of the world. Michael Smith.
And that's Michael Smith's first championship ever. He is now the new world number one.
Talk about that nine dart.
Oh yeah, he when he went off backstage and said to Glenn Furthers, what like that was when he missed a nine, and I'll give the crowd what they deserve, and yeah, they got a magical nine, and yeah, it was good.
Unbelievable.
And so at the end here, Wayne, what I'm just wondering is what exactly you want America to know? What do you want us to know about this game that continues to clearly blow your mind, both in terms of the life you've lived and also the things you continue to see still today? What do you want us to know?
Right, I'll tell you what I do want you to know, because I believe this is going to happen. In the US, there's a massive darting culture in some parts of some major cities. New York, Philadelphia, Vegas has got a base for darts. Once you guys produce a champion that travels, you absolutely will. Darts will be in every home. It will be on every channel. Mm. It will be streamed worldwide. And you'll be thinking, I've got to get into this. It'll be another Big Bang, if there can be another Big Bang. Is that even possible?
Wayne Martel, YE501, my new favorite athlete in the world.
Oh, please.
We will spake to each other again when that happens.
I can't spake.
I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. Talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.